Dave and Dejanovic, your morning companions for talk, analysis, and key perspectives on Utah's biggest stories on KSL News Radio.
Of course, we're continuing to track the latest developments out of Baltimore where the cargo ship crashed into the Key Bridge. It's a major bridge in Baltimore. It crashed into it about 1:38 this morning. It sent people into the water. CNN reporting that one person's been hospitalized, six still unaccounted for. We learned earlier today from ABC News, as they joined us live from Baltimore, that a construction crew was working on the bridge, filling up potholes just before that cargo ship crashed into it, Dave. And we're not sure if those are the folks, the workers who are unaccounted for, although earlier today I did see information from one of the news stations saying that it was the construction workers.
Yeah, they were filling some potholes. And as I was looking through the video, one of the most surprising moments for me was just seconds before the collision into the bridge. The captain of the ship, I'm assuming, gave a mayday alert to the bridge, and they shut off traffic across the bridge. And the final car crossed the bridge, as I was examining the video, about 30 seconds before it collapsed.
I want to dip into CNN. The reporter there still on a boat in the harbor area reporting live from the scene. Let's listen.
Here. Yeah, Brian Todd, thank you for that. I report from the boat. We'll, again, check back in with you as well, especially in this key moment, these desperate moments.
Looks like they just left the reporter that was reporting from the boat side.
Now, the White House
also waiting a live news conference from the NTSB, National Transportation Safety Board. As soon as that press conference opens up, we'll take you there live to get the very latest.
Dave and Dejanovic. Special coverage of the top local story.
We have got to talk about what has been happening all over the Wasatch Front, specifically to women. Several women targeted by a man in a white sedan while they were walking. There's all kinds of different circumstances surrounding how these hit and runs went down. But this man is now in custody. He's 26 years old. It took police several months, Dave, to piece it all together. The first hit-and-run crash happened in August, and he was very recently arrested. I'm going to walk you through the terror that these women were put through. And again, they were pedestrians. They were out walking, according to police. And in a few minutes, the district attorney is going to be joining us live, where we're going to ask him the question, could there be other victims?
I can tell you, when I first heard this story, and you started to describe the what seems, quite frankly, to be the targeting of women, it felt like serial killer behavior. It really did. Even though none of these women passed away, shockingly.
It's a miracle.
It's shockingly. Yeah. I couldn't help but think this is the kind of behavior that you read about in serial killers.
Let's go over the news release that the Salt Lake City Police Department sent us. It lays out the timeline. And then I want to get to the allegations that were laid out in the criminal charges. This man has been charged with six counts of attempted murder, all involving women. Starts on August 22nd. He's accused of hitting a 36-year-old woman near downtown Salt Lake. Then a couple of months go by. Now, mind you, we don't know if there may be other incidents that police haven't been able to get their arms wrapped around just yet or pieced together to see if they're all connected. February, end of February, accused of hitting a 50-year-old woman and her daughter in Sandy, leaving them both lying in the road. 4 days later, accused of hitting a 44-year-old woman and a 50-year-old woman in the Salt Lake City area. And then March 11th, which appears to be the final incident, accused of hitting a 20-year-old woman at 6th West and North Temple. That's just right down the street from Broadcast House. I mean, so many of us walk around this area after we're, you know, when we're taking a little bit of a break. And this happens to this woman. She's 20 years old, and she was critically injured. But there's other critical injuries as well. I'm going to talk about those in just a moment, because the details in the charges, Dave, just make you sick.
Well, and to your point when you said there might be others out there, hit and run is something that we cover often at this station. We do so much with traffic, and when there is a pedestrian involved, if there's a hit and run, we cover this often enough. And trying to track down hit and run is difficult. It depends. Yeah. Were there witnesses? Was there video? Were there was the person that was hurt? Did they get a description, or did they see what had happened? You know, these are extremely difficult to follow up on.
Well, in this case, there was a lot of video, and usually there are these days. There's lots of different, you know, Ring doorbell cameras, and maybe there's some surveillance cameras that businesses have. Police were able to connect it. Was a white sedan used, seems to be used over and over again in each of these cases. And if you think, oh, well, maybe he didn't mean to hit women, it's just kind of, you know, he was just targeting people, but he didn't. The way that these charges are laid out, in my mind, it was very intentional that women were his target. So let me take you to the one at 5th South and 10th West in August. There's a woman, she says this guy pulled up to her, tries to get her in, you know, coax her into the car several times. Her and her walking buddy run away. They try to get away. Well, he slams into her, throws her over the hood of the car. So the fact that he's trying to make contact with her beforehand, he knows. He knows what he's doing, in my view. In Sandy, this next incident happens in February in Sandy involving a mother and her daughter. Left lying in the road. Officers found some home security footage, which showed a white Toyota Avalon in the area driving down the street three times. Three times he drives down the street prior to the accident. Then let's move forward to the hit-and-run accident that happens 4 days later. A woman, it looks like a friend, is with her. They're walking. Here's a vehicle accelerating before they're struck from behind. Again, older white sedan is the description. One woman suffers a concussion, lacerations to her head, fractured front tooth. She has to have, surgery. Friend loses consciousness at the scene, suffers a brain bleed, a concussion, a hand fracture, lacerations to her head and her scalp. And then there's this incident where two women are waiting to cross the street in March, right over here at 6th West and North Temple. And they enter the crosswalk, and they see a white vehicle, driving in the area. They start to cross the crosswalk. In the crosswalk, a Toyota is observed, speeding up. Then, bam, sound of a collision is heard. The driver of the Toyota did not use his brakes nor attempt to stop before hitting one of the women. Rib fractures, brain bleed, skull fracture, multiple pelvic fractures. Ends up intubated on a ventilator in the ICU. As you said, Dave, screams of serial killer behavior. Multiple women terrorized for months over the course of at least 6 months here in Salt Lake County and maybe beyond. Straight ahead, let's talk to District Attorney Sim Gill. Are there more victims out there?
David Dujanovic. Special coverage of the top local story.
Multiple women terrorized all over the Wasatch Front as they were out doing something that we all do every single day, walking. They were pedestrians. Targeted, according to the district attorney and to the Salt Lake City, by the Salt Lake City Police Department, by one man driving an older model white sedan who would intentionally speed up, run them over, tried to coax one to get in the car with him, and when she didn't and tried to run away with her friend, he ran her over and flipped her over the hood of the car. One, Dave, incident right over here in downtown Salt Lake on 6th West and North Temple landed a woman in the ICU, and we want to make sure we're checking in with District Attorney Sim Gill in just a moment on her condition.
Yeah, with some absolutely terrible injuries. Now, if this was any other weapon, and a car can absolutely be used as a weapon, if this were a knife or a gun, with this number and how often it happened, we'd be talking about a serial killer. And that's where my mind goes when I see such a consistent targeting using the same weapon, the vehicle as the weapon. That's exactly where my mind goes.
It's been going on for months. I'm so glad this individual is in custody, DA Gill. What a relief. I do want to start, though, where my heart is, and that is with these women. And I'm so grateful. I think it's a miracle they've all managed to survive. Just in general, how are they all doing?
Well, you know, I think you've both identified. I think this was a terribly traumatic experience. Just even on an accident, to experience that is unimaginable. When you recognize through the investigation that there's multiple victims being targeted, absolutely. I think they're all incredibly brave women. They've undergone some really severe trauma. And luckily, right now, they're in various degrees, they're recovering, but with some really serious injuries. And just thank God that nobody was killed as a result of this, but absolutely terrible experience for all of them.
You've laid this out. We've spoken about it a little bit, but how did you come to the realization that this was not just bad driving? What happened?
Well, I think, you know, that's one of the things. David, your earlier comments, this is, and Debbie, you know, this is a conduct that we do daily. And in a accidents happen. That's just part of our life. And so I think this conduct was hidden under sort of the frequency of accidents that happen.
Yeah,
it was just, and you know, as you know, our probable cause statement lays conduct going back to 2023, and then the frequency with which it also escalated in 2024. I hope this is all of it, but we're out there trying to investigate that. But it is that volume of conduct that was there, and we started to piece it together because the information that was coming together identified the same vehicle. Some of the intelligence work and the investigative work that was done by Salt Lake City PD, Sandy PD, and the accident reconstruction, we started to piece that it was the same vehicle. And all of a sudden, those pieces started to fall together, that this isn't some accident, one-off, but maybe more intentional, more deliberate, and targeting women in particular over a course of time and over multiple incidents that we have thus far identified.
We're talking live with Salt Lake County District Attorney Sim Gill about a case involving the arrest of a man. He's 26 years old. Many, many women over the course of several months hit during hit and run incidents. And now police have connected all of these incidents. He's charged with 6 counts of attempted murder and various other charges as well. None of the women died. But several of them suffered very, very serious injuries. One even had to be intubated. She's in ICU. Brain bleeds, skull fractures, pelvic fractures. Women were left lying in the streets. And in the charging documents, Sim, you say that it appears he would speed up at times. In one case, he was stalking some women back and forth, driving back and forth up the road, and then speed up and hit women. What in the world, like, is there any idea, like, is there a reason, a motive yet for this?
Well, you know, I'm sure that as we continue to move through our investigation and prosecution, we might be able to put some of that together. But whether we ever get to that or fully understand, it is clear that on the objective evidence that was presented and as outlined in our probable cause statement, that there were multiple witnesses, as well as some of the other evidence that was gathered, seemed to indicate that there was this at times stalking behavior of his targets, that he waited and saw them, and witnesses talked about how he would move to one part. And even as we put out in our probable cause statement, the light clearly did not give him the right to go through, but he diverted and accelerated to these women who had every reason to believe in the crosswalk that they were going to be safe. You know, our sense of safety is driven by the other people will follow and follow the rules. So these women felt safe walking through the crosswalk, never imagining that somebody would intentionally move towards them at a high rate of speed and intentionally target them. And we saw that in several different scenarios, as we outlined in our probable cause statement, where this was so, that targeted predatory behavior.
As I look at where this was all done, largely in Salt Lake, how far and how far would you be looking? Could this have had other victims, perhaps even in Davis County, Utah County, or are you pretty confident that here in Salt Lake is where it ended?
Well, I hope that this is all there is, but out of abundance of caution, I think, as I've always said, if you believe that you're a victim of a crime, please report it. And secondly, you know, there's no reason for these random accidents to connect that. So hopefully some of our local law enforcement agencies will maybe go back to some of those hit and runs and to put a pair of fresh eyes to that, and to see if there are other cases that that might be connected. So this aspect of the investigation is still ongoing. We encourage people to report and reach out to local law enforcement, and then we encourage local law enforcement to go back at least the last 6 months or 12 months to maybe scrub some of their old reports of hit and runs as well.
So Sam, we've got about 30 seconds left here. It looked like he consistently, allegedly used a white Toyota Avalon in each of these crimes that you've accused him of committing. Obviously, he didn't switch cars, so it doesn't seem like. So is that what people should be thinking about if they have a friend or something like that might have been involved in a hit and run?
Absolutely. I would much rather err on the side of caution. And again, these are allegations, but what we found is that, you know, while he has some local ties, it looked like he had been living through his car. So there was a lot of stuff and materials that were found there, like he had been sort of spending a lot of time in that vehicle of his. And that really is the one piece that linked all of this together for us from multiple incidents.
Salt Lake County District Attorney Sim Gill, thank you.
We'll have more information on this at KSLNewsRadio.com. And again, if you download that KSL News Radio app, you'll be able to get more details. And we'll continue to follow the case as well with our team of reporters and producers. Very happy that Salt Lake City Police Department has made an arrest, that police have been working together across the county to match the descriptions of the incidents and the car, and now they have the suspect in custody. Next, we're going to take you back live to Baltimore to get the latest on that bridge collapse where a cargo ship crashed into the bridge, sending what appeared to be cars and people into the water. A bridge is 185 feet up in the air, and it is a major, major artery.
So I used to drive every day across that bridge to and from it, and it's surreal. Like, I can't believe it's gone. Like, it was my mode of work every day. So I'm in shock.